I want to look to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless in his word today. Lord, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only name under heaven's skies wherein we can be saved. And God, we come calling on you this morning, asking you for strength, God, asking you for wisdom, asking you for your anointing. That God, the words that we say today that might go into the ears of those who receive them in their automobiles and their radios and their cars and those that receive it in their homes through the new options of digital radio and different things like that. Lord, we thank you for every listener we have, and let us speak that we might encourage them. And Lord, we'll praise you and magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen. I always give a lot of thought to this, and I have been privileged to be able to have a vast audience, and sometimes it bothers me a little bit. We locally don't have that much of a crowd that comes out, but a friend of mine down Christiansburg, a preacher, he said, "Brother Gove, you're preaching more people today than you ever have in your life." And I said, "That's correct." And I'm mindful of things that I've had happen. We had a lady that contacted one of the gospel groups we have on the radio station, and the person that I think they was going to end their life, and they had pulled off the side of the road, and the song came on, and they was listening to the song, and through that song, they got saved, and they called Jonathan Bond down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, down that part of the country, and they called him and told him what had happened. And then I remember we was in Thomasville, North Carolina, back many, many years ago in a tent crusade, and there was a man that came by the tent, and he come back, and he come in, and he said, "I got to talk to someone." He said, "I'd picked out a place to commit suicide out here in 109, right out past the tent. But," he said, "something about this tent, when I come by, it caught my attention." And he said, "when I got out there," he said, "I was going to ram my car into a tree in a curve." And he said, "something just kept telling me, go back to that tent. There'll be somebody up there that can help you." And he come back, and we prayed with him. And, of course, naturally, he didn't take his own life. But, you know, we never seen him again after that. But at least for that moment, his life was spared. And hopefully that he found the Lord and went on with the Lord. I believe the scripture when the Bible said he'll never leave you or never forsake you. We've heard all the preaching, the far left, the far right. We've had all the folks that preach and tell you that every time you sneeze, you've lost your salvation. Every time you make a mistake, God's forsaken you. I'm convinced it's not as easy to lose God as most people preach it to be so. Because I've talked to some of the worst backsliders that ever walked on the earth. I've talked to people that was hard in sin. And they said that voice of God continuously spoke to them and told them, "Turn around, turn around, turn around. Don't go any further in the direction you're going. It's time to turn around." And I believe the Lord is there continuously to reach out to us. And it's up to us as individuals what we do with it, what we do with the message of the Lord. And I believe he's there every hour of every day, and he's waiting for us, and the decision is in our hands. What are we going to do with the Lord for the rest of our life? What are we, when we leave this place today, when we get up from where we're listening to this message today, what are we going to do with the rest of our life? What are we going to do? And that's the decision we have before us. Now, the Bible tells me, and I want to look in the second chapter of St. Mark. Section of scripture here says the Lord had entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Then straightway many were gathered together, inasmuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, for he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing of the sick and of a palsy, with, the Bible says, he was carried or bore by four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy laid. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins are forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their heart, why does this man thus speak blaspheme? Who can forgive sins but God only? Here we see the story of a man that was not only forgiven of his sins, but he was healed. And God, according to the word of God, Jesus was touched. He was touched by what he seen. Here this man was carried before. I want to have some friends like that. You know, when I get so bad I can't walk, they'll take me somewhere and get me a touch. A friend of mine asked me this morning, I'm visiting with a man that's suffering some real bad situation in his life and his health, and another preacher asked me, said, well, do you think he's going to be healed? And I said, well, I would hope he would, but the thing of it is, this man in his life didn't know and didn't serve God till down towards the twilight hours, and he never learned about healing. I remember something a friend of mine, Norval Hayes, said. His mama died at 37 years old, and he said he asked the Lord, why did mama have to die? And Norval said that God spoke to him and said, because your mama sat in churches that did not teach healing, sat in churches that did not teach the victory of God, sat in churches that did not build her faith up where she could experience healing. So it's very important that when we go to church, we go to a church that talks about the Lord, talks about healing, talks about the power of God, talks about the anointing of God. The Bible said, by his stripes we are healed. Old Testament, New Testament said, by his stripes you were healed, being a past tense. By his stripes, the price has been paid for healing. And see here, this man, as he was lowered down, if you could imagine, they tore a hole through the roof and they lowered this man down on a stretcher, the cot that he laid on that they carried him, and the ropes tied on each four corners, and they let him down unto the presence of the Lord that he might be healed. The Bible said Jesus seen their faith and it touched him. And not only did he say he was healed, but he also said, thou sins are forgiven. It's very, very important that we can understand that we must be forgiven before salvation can take place and take root in our heart and our life. And the thing about God, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible said, shall be saved. We have the privilege today to call upon the Lord. And I hear the devil a lot of times say, he says to people, you're too big a sinner. You've committed too much wrong. I told a man the other day that told me some very serious things he had done. And I said to him, I said, the Bible says if you've asked the Lord, all your sins have been forgiven. And that's a glorious thing to know today, that we can come to the Lord and our slate can be wiped clean and we can be forgiven of every sin that we have transgressed and committed against God. I like what the psalmist David said. You know, he said he had sinned. He had sinned against God. And he asked God to restore in him that right spirit. And he told him, he said, do not take the Holy Spirit from me, but restore in me that right spirit. We need a right spirit within us. And the Bible tells us that if we look to the Lord and we seek the Lord and we ask the Lord to come into our life, our soul, and that spirit abides with us. And the Bible said, unless you have the spirit of Christ, you're none of his. I'm glad I was introduced to Jesus Christ as a young man. I'm glad that I didn't have to live this life without God, without Christ. But I said to my friend just this morning, I said, I have a question whether the man is going to be healed or not, because he's not putting forth no faith. As this man here, even his friends expounded their faith. When they got to the door, they couldn't. You know, most folks, they go to the door and you can't get in the door, they go back home. You know, they're not going to go any further than that. But these friends seen the need for this man to be healed. They seen the need for this man to be touched. And they had a faith that they could get this man to the place where he could be touched to the Lord, he'd be healed. It's like a woman of the issue of blood. For what, 12 long years she spent everything she had. She'd sought physicians. She'd come to the end of the road. And there was no healing for her. And she heard that Jesus was coming to town. She heard that Jesus was passing by. And the word of God tells me that she was down on the ground crawling through the crowd, saying, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, I would be made whole. That's that determination of faith, as these four men had that determination of faith for their friend. And I said earlier, I want friends like that. I want friends that are determined. They're determined that they're going to help me and they're going to be there for me. And this man had that kind of friends. But the woman with the issue of blood, she said, if I could only touch the hem of his garment, she said, I will be made whole. She had faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A man that cometh to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. When we come to God with a willing mind and a willing heart and say, God, I'm yours. Amen. A lot of time in life we have to reach that point. You know, we go out the door to start with, we think we can lick the world. One hand tied behind us. We go a little further and we find out we better untie that hand because we're going to need both hands. You know, and we go a little further and we realize that two hands is not enough. And we need the Lord. We need his touch. We've got to have a willing heart and a willing mind. A lot of time we're filled up with pride. We're filled up with pride. I don't need no help. I don't need anything. I'm sufficient with myself. That's what the New Age movement's all about. They're saying that they don't need God. They have God within them, and that's sufficient. No, the Bible says that Christ is able. He's able to do exceedingly above all we ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh within us. That's the power of God. If you have that power in you, he's going to bring you up when you're down. He's going to help you to climb over. He's going to help you to climb up. He's going to help you to be victorious. But this woman with the issue of blood, they were pushing and thronging back and forth, and the Lord turned to his disciples and said, somebody touch me. And I could see the expression on their face to say, what do you mean? Somebody touched you, pushing and shoving, elbow to elbow, shoulder to shoulder. What do you mean? Somebody touched you. And he could see that they did not comprehend or understood what he said. He said, the virtue has went out of me. In other words, that healing, that woman had ignited. Her faith had ignited the Spirit, and the Spirit had come to her, and she'd been made whole. And here this man that was let down on that stretcher, he experienced the same thing. The faith that they had, the determination that they had. And doctors will tell you when you're sick, the willpower to live. I've got to go visit a friend in Winston-Salem. It's had heart failure, and his pulse is down so low, they're saying they don't know where he's going to survive or not. And, you know, he just needs a miracle. He sent a friend of his to see me yesterday to see if I would come and visit him. And my prayer is that the virtue of the Lord, when I go and I'm with that gentleman and I go to pray for him, I pray that the same virtue that the woman with the issue of blood, as she touched the Lord's hem of his garment, the virtue went into her. As these men ignited their faith, ignited before the Lord, and that virtue went out to this man. And I'm praying that man in the Winston Hospital, that the virtue of the Lord will go out to him, and his heart will be made whole, be made strong. God is still in the healing business. Thank God he's still in the saving business. Thank God he's still in the blessing business. Glory to God. But the faith that this man showed to the Lord, we have to reach out to the Lord. God is not going to come march into our home, get us by the nape of the neck, yank us up and say, all right, I'm going to save you, heal you, and give you a financial miracle whether you want it or not. It don't work that way. I'm sorry. It don't. And you can send these preachers on television the last $1,000 you got, and it still won't come that way. Because, I mean, they are literally filling the airways up of saying, oh, I feel the next 300 that sends $1,000 is going to get this miracle. I said, well, if you get 301, you're out. You just blowed your thousands, kind of like the lottery. God's not in that kind of stuff. It don't take money to, money can't buy salvation. Money can't merit healing. You can write all the checks you want, but it's not going to touch God. What's going to touch God is your faith in His Word. Your faith in Him. Your faith of acknowledging that He is able to save. He is able to set free. He's able to deliver. Amen. The woman with the issue of blood, it was her faith that touched God. These four men carrying their friend, it was their faith, their willingness that touched the heart of God. And he was made whole and he was saved. The Bible don't just stop there. We could go chapter and chapter, verse and verse. We could go to the Word of God in depth. And we could find, as we did so, we'd find that the Lord has declared it and redeclared it. The Bible says in the 16th chapter of Matthew, and in verse 24, then said Jesus to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 25 said, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is it if a man profit, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall man give in exchange for his soul? Simply to say, money can't buy this thing. Position in life can't buy it. It's good that mama had experience. It's good that grandma and grandpa had an experience. But this is something that every man, the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is something that every man and every woman has to work out before the Lord and have to acknowledge before the Lord. But faith touches the heart of God. Faith brings about miracles. Word tells us when we've done all to stand, just stand. Bible tells me that every man, every woman has been dealt a measure of faith. It's what we do with it. It's like a muscle. We take our arm and put it in a sling and carry it around for 2 weeks, and we wouldn't be able to pick up that pair of glasses at the end of 2 weeks after carrying around the sling. Because we've not used it. Faith is something that you have to use. Faith is something you have to exercise. Faith is something that you have to reach out to the Lord and you have to practice. I've always took the hard road, as the old saying goes. I've always took the road of faith. Some people say, well, you got to have a board meeting and see if you got enough money before you do something. I've never been privileged to do it that way. I've always got the mind of God, what He wanted me to do, what direction He wanted me to go in, and then I followed the mind and will of God and let the finances follow after it. And I've watched God do the supernatural. That's how we built a ministry that's all over the world and in about every country in the world. And I was thinking, I'm sure we have ministries. I need to look to, I don't recall the names, but we've got some ministers there in Libya. We need to be praying sincerely for them. But that's how we've been able, through the help and the grace of God, is by practicing faith and letting God know that we're going to serve Him, letting God know we're going to go forward in faith, no matter what. I said it here the other week. It don't matter if gasoline get to be $50 a gallon. The child of God, God will be able to supply your need. For he said, I shall supply all your needs by my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't want gas to get no higher than what it is. But I'm not going to throw in the towel if it gets to $50 a gallon. God will make a way and God will provide. I've watched some things this past week that God done supernaturally. We needed some miracles. Jackie had to have some eye surgery and we needed finances up front. And I watched God take a vehicle I had, swap it around. Somebody come along, wanted to buy it. They bought it at a real nice price. It was a good vehicle. And God just turned right around. And another friend had a vehicle that his mother had give him a gift and bought him a brand new truck. And he wanted to share his blessing with somebody else. So he, in turn, sold me his truck. It just nothing. I was looking at some old junk trucks that they won more than he said he won for this truck. Sitting out there in the parking lot. And Lord blessed. Give us some money to get their first eye took care of. And God will give us some money to take care of the other one. Cataract surgery runs about $6,500 an eye now, and that's ouch. But in 2 weeks' time, God turned around, paid off a note that was $500-some dollars a month, gave me another truck back that's almost as nice as the one I had for about a fifth of the money, and put the money forth that Jackie's done had her first eye fixed, and the vision in it is 20/30, which the doctor said is exceptionally good, and we're praying that it's going to even be better than that. From the diagnosis of the doctor in Galak that she had a brain tumor and she was going blind, it's good to hear the doctor say everything's success and you got 20/30 vision. So we praise God for it, practicing faith, moving forth. And the Bible tells me that if we allow the Lord to lead us, the Bible says the steps of a righteous person are ordained by the Lord. Don't go against that gut feeling you get. Don't go against the Spirit when the Spirit's leading you a direction or leading you somewhere or leading you to make a decision or to make whatever you have to do. Don't go against that. Don't silence the voice of God. Don't silence the voice of God. But allow God to direct your paths, direct your steps, and God will bring you out on top every time. I'm not afraid of tomorrow because I know where God brought me from yesterday. I'm not afraid of the battles that I'm going to run into along the way because he's been the God that's been in the midst of the battle. He's been there and he's been my strength, my high tower, my buckler. He's been the stay in the midst of the storm. He's been the peace and the calm in the midst of the night. And he'll be the same for you because the Bible said he's no respecter of persons. And a lot of people think, well, you know, you gotta earn with the Lord. And he will, if you don't earn this or you don't earn that, he won't do this for you or he'll do that for the other. He does not work that way. Now, I believe that we're saved unto good works. But he don't, because of our goodness, he don't merit these things. It's because of our faith. Faith is trusting God and believing the report of God no matter what the circumstances or what the odds are. Could you pray with me? Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time we've had to come and minister your word, preach the word of God, and speak from the oracles of God. For that holy anointing that you might touch hearts, encourage men and women to go on with the Lord. Let them realize there's nothing in this world worth turning around to see when their eye catches the prize that waits them by and by. And Lord, help us evermore to reach out to you, Lord, that God, that our faith might touch you as these four men that carried their friend and let him down through the hole they tore in the roof. Is that woman with the issue of blood, her faith, as she crawled through that crowd that day just to touch the hem of your garment. Lord, let us have that kind of faith today that we can reach out to you and that healing can be wrought, miracles can be wrought, men and women that are in backslidden conditions can come home And God, that grace and grace and mercy should have her prevail in our lives and our hearts, that when it's all said and done, when we are evermore home at last and with the Lord. And God, that's our prayer, that every man, woman, boy, and girl in the sound of my voice would know you as their Savior and would call upon you and be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. God love you. God bless you.